You know, this morning we continue with our theme of being spiritually fit. And one of the areas of fitness spiritually is also being physically fit. And today is Palm Sunday, right? It's a time where we remember when people took out their palm leaves and we have our pom-poms, you know, in celebration of the fact that God chose to pay the price to come and be on this earth and redeem us. Why? Because he wanted to make his habitation with us. He wanted us to be able to really have his glory and his presence within us. You know, the Old Testament, God dwelt in places made by human hands. And the theme from my talk this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And King Hezekiah, you don't have to turn to it, it's okay. King Hezekiah was a very young king. He was only 25 years old. Anyone who's 25 and over, wave your hands. 25 and over? 25 and over? Okay, now the king was as young as everyone that didn't put up their hands. He was a young person, okay? He was a young person. He inherited the kingdom. And the first thing he did was he wanted to tidy the temple because he knew that the nation of Israel couldn't achieve what it was meant to achieve without the presence of God inhabiting and being amongst them. And because in that dispensation, the presence of God dwelt in an actual physical temple, he determined that he would tidy the temple. And what did he do? The first thing he did was that he removed the debris from the temple. You know, the temple was neglected. Over time, people didn't care. Things just added. And, you know, there wasn't that worship. And a whole lot of rubbish began to accumulate, physical stuff in the temple. So he took that great big drive of first emptying the temple. He did that right in the beginning, in the first year of his reign, in the first month. It's like his priority was to ensure that the presence of God had a great temple for it to dwell. That was his priority when he became king. And the Bible reminds us that he chose, this young king, he chose to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He not just made God a priority, he chose to do what was right in the sight of God. And cleansing and tidying the temple was the right thing to do. And you know, now we live in a new dispensation. No longer in the old dispensation where the temple was a physical place and God inhabited that. Now the Bible tells us that we are the temple, right? So if we are the temple and we want to choose to make God a priority, then tidying our temple needs to be a, right? So how do we tidy the temple? What stuff do we have in our lives that we need to take out of our lives? What do we have to do? What adjustments that we have to choose to make so that truly our temple can be tidy and we can invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in and amongst us? You know, I think in many ways, it's not just about the weight that we carry. So often we can think that tidying the temple can be all about, and I know we have churches and that we have relationship with that do a whole drive on tidying the temple, and it's all about our physical bodies. And yes, that's good because the Bible says physical exercise profits something. And I think if we choose to eat right, we can live right. Come on. You know, food is medicine. If we eat the right things, we have the energy and the ability to think clearly, to serve God well. So that is important and that is right. To eat well, to exercise, to do all of that. But I also think it's taking all of those other things that clutter our temple. It's the habits. You know, the things that we make a priority in our lives. That we, when we examine our lives, what is actually important to us? What is our priority? What is the most important thing that governs our life? And we, if we look at that, and we realize that somehow God has slipped, he's no longer the primary focus, then we know we're not living in a tidy temple. And if you take a vessel, imagine a clay jar, and the Bible talks about us being like earthen vessels. And imagine you know there's that story, right, about the crow and the water, right? And he put a whole load of stones in it for the water level to rise, right? But actually for us as believers, it's the other way around, it's ulta. We have to take the stones out of our vessels, right? So that God's presence can inhabit and fill us. And that's what tidying the temple is about. It's about taking those stones out of our earthen vessels so that we will have the capacity to contain God. Because if our vessels are full of stone, our capacity for God is diminished. If half of it is stone, only the other half can be his presence. But when we intentionally remove those stones, those areas of our lives, the habits, the hurts, I think, you know. Sometimes we can get so wounded by things that happen in our lives that they can almost be strongholds, like stones in our lives. The wounds of our past are like stones, and they clog up our little clay jars, you know. So habits, hurts, wrong ways of thinking. If we think thoughts and our way of thinking is not right, they're like stones. They clog up our lives. They clog up our temple. So when we actually remove those incorrect ways of thinking, then we give more room for God in our life. You know, I really believe that saying less is more. And I think in our lives, when we have less stones, we have more of God. And I think even physically in our spaces, I believe less is more. Sometimes we can be so cluttered physically, emotionally, spiritually, and even in our physical spaces, cluttered, that we can't even think right. Have you ever felt that sense of relief when you've tidied up the home? No. Oh, Chris, you must be a hoarder if you haven't. Because, you know, there are some people that actually don't tidy up. They just hoard and they hoard. And soon you can't see the wood from the trees because it's just so full of stuff. Now, my husband is just the opposite. Okay. He's throwing out. I'm the one that tries to rescue the stuff sometimes. Because, you know, I may need it sometime. Help, I need it. But when we actually declutter our lives physically, we get that sense of, now we can think right. We can think. There's that peace. The same way in every area of our lives, when we declutter our life, we can think clearly. You know, we have that space with the stones coming out. We should have had a clay jar today with stones, because that's what I really believe God's word is to us this morning. You know, I think another thing that we can get so easily bogged down is in saying, you know, I have this clay jar and it's full of stone, but I'm a work in progress, which means it's going to take between now till eternity for this jar to be empty enough for God to actually come and fill, right? Come on, whenever things don't quite go wrong, we say, okay, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm still work in progress. God is working in my life, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But when we go back to the story of King Hezekiah, I think it's really interesting that he tidied the temple in 8 days. He not only made it a priority, but he said, this thing is not going to take my whole reign. Because I know this is so important, I'm going to get my skates on and I'm going to do that, because I know when I do it, the blessing that's going to pour in to the physical temple and then to the nation of Israel is going to be so good that I'm going to devote all of my energy and all of my time in this 8 days to just tidy it up. And I think so often for us, we can put a delay on the issues God wants us to work on. You know, we carry hurts, we carry pain, and we think, oh God, I don't have the energy to deal with it now. You know, I'll just let it settle another time, another season, I'll allow you permission to deal with this area of my life. And so we ring fence areas of our lives and say, God, not now, not now. You know, I'm not ready to deal with it. And when we have that same drive that King Hezekiah did, which says, I'm going to deal with the issues of my life, I'm going to take all those stones out, I'm not going to let myself ring fence these things that are in my life, that clog me, that don't allow God's presence in my life, then you can see the amazing things that God can do in you, through you, because you choose to make that a real priority. You know, we all have dreams of what God wants to do for us, in us, through us. I think a dream is just a dream until you put a date on it. When you put a date on it, you can write this down. It becomes a goal. A dream is a dream until you put a date on it. And when you put a date on it, it becomes a goal. And God wants us to take the dreams that we have and to put a date on it. Whatever it is, whether it's a dream in terms of what we are wanting God to do for us, if it's a dream of what we need to accomplish, if it's physically in terms of ourselves, our health, our wellness, any of those things, put a date on it. And then you will see the focus that you will have. King Hezekiah had 8 days. And he accomplished what he needed to. There was a date on the dream to tidy the temple. And that happened. Before we started life, we put a date on it. Oh, we chose a date and it was there was no science to it, let me tell you. We just said, okay, after the rains, that sounds really good. God, we're praying, and then we felt November. We're going to start in November. And when we set a date, we had nobody. There was Ian, me, Grace, Amy Joy, and Coco. And that was life at Andheri. But we set a date, November. We were going to establish, we were going to launch out, we were going to do what God had called us to do. So your dream doesn't have to look like all sewn up before you set a date. When you set a date, it's a declaration of your faith that God is able. By setting that date, you're saying, God, I know that you can, even though I don't really know how. I know that you can do it. And he can, can't he? He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even dare to dream or imagine. This is the year of the... We've got to really lay hold in the spirit of that word. It's the unimaginable. So dare to dream, put a date on it. Believe God, and we'll see God collectively do something for us that we would never dream that it was possible. The other thing he did is he restored that space. He restored King Hezekiah. He restored worship. He restored the things that were important. So in the Old Testament, in the temple, they burned incense, right? That was an important thing. They lit the candles. They burned incense. There was a structure, a way of worship. And that's what he restored. He restored worship. He restored that order. He restored the things that God required in order for his presence to come in that physical space. And the same way, I think, for us, when we restore that order in our lives, putting God first, reading the word. How many of you enjoy reading the Bible through the scriptures, the app? Who's using the app? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, all right. You know, that app is great. It is just so good. You even put a notification on. So in the morning, at the set time, it pings me. Time to read the word. Isn't that good? Not that I would forget, but you know, we're all humans. It pings you, time to read the word. And I really like that, because when you make that a priority, reading God's word, spending time with God, just getting your life still and in order. When we put the first thing first, the rest of our day goes well. Amen? And so he restored order. He restored worship. That was the purpose of tidying the temple. He didn't tidy the temple just to have a neat temple. And he didn't do it quickly for nothing. He tidied the temple because he knew that when God's presence inhabited the temple, things would never be the same again. And you know, my prayer for each one of us is that we would all desire to have more of him in our lives. In our earthen vessels, we all have stones. None of us are exempt from stones. Let me tell you. I have stones. You have stones. We all have stones in our earthen vessels. But we can choose every day to get rid of the stones so that our capacity for him is greater. You know, when we do that, we'll find that abundance of joy, of peace, of wellness, of fulfillment, of purpose, of everything. We'd wake up in the morning and think, yes, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, no matter what my circumstances tell me. I will rejoice and I will choose to be glad in it. And some days we may not feel glad, but we choose. We choose gladness. We choose it. You know, coming back to Palm Sunday and all of our palms, you know, those people, they were really fickle. The same people that waved the palms to Jesus were the same ones that on Friday said, crucify. It's not about the external. It's not about what we do. It's about an intention and an alignment of our hearts that align towards God. And when we do that, we won't have that fickleness. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, we know that priority, that is why Ian keeps saying, folk, remember, Sundays is a priority. We put God first, the rest of our week is blessed. It's just a spiritual principle. When we honor God, we see a blessing that's poured out on our lives. And those people were fickle. One day they said, yay, 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 God. The next day they said, who? We don't know him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Not just crucify him. They wanted the rascal. How bad and how fickle could they get? You know, but when we align ourselves with God, then there won't be that fickleness in our lives. And you know, I think it's always a choice because we can all choose fickleness. We can all choose something else. We can all choose another priority. When we wake up in the morning, we can all choose to ignore the notification. Come on. We can all choose to ignore spending time with God. We can all choose to ignore going to the gym. Come on. You know, it takes discipline to do that. Discipline of knowing I've got to do what I've got to do because I'm going to do it. Whether I feel like it or not, I just do it. I mean, really, that is the story of all our lives. Doing things not because we feel like it, but because we know it's good for us and we just need to make it a priority to do. I drag myself out of bed every morning at 5:30 a.m. to begin my day, and by 7 o'clock in the morning, I am on that treadmill, working out. Because I know if I do that at 7 by 8, I can start my day. I believe if we rise with the sun and then we go to bed early as well, I live a better life when I do that. Everyone's different, but that for me is my routine. And when you do that and you're consistent and systematic in every area of your life, you find that order is God's way. The earth was void. And then God hovered around. And when God hovered around, what did he bring? Order. Let there be day and night. Let there be seasons. Let there be... Everything was ordered, structured. There was no chaos in the earth. When God stepped in, when his presence stepped in, the same way when God's presence steps into your life, there's no chaos. There's no confusion. His presence comes to bring order. To bring order, to bring structure in your life. you know, I think in Mumbai we get so jolly used to chaos, because everywhere we go, it's beep, 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 chaos. Oh, everybody's going. Sometimes when we're in the traffic, I close my eyes because they come so close, right? You think they're going to bang into you. And because I normally drive, I feel that pressure of, which is why I don't drive in Mumbai, because I'd be closing my eyes, you know. But seriously, seriously, we get used to chaos. But that system of the world and that system of our city is not our system. Our system is order, it's structure, it's God's presence coming into every area of our lives and making something beautiful out of our lives. Amen? What does this mean for us individually? What does it mean for you? What does tithing your temple look like? And I think unless we can apply what God is saying to us, it would be just another word from the 52 we listen to every single week, right? But when we know that there's something that God wants to say to us, that there's some stones in our life that He wants to take out, and we make space for Him, then we see His order bringing blessing and an overflow into each of our lives. So I just want us to spend a few minutes before we go into time of communion of just pausing. I've spoken a lot, but I want God to speak into your life. So as we pause and Boris plays some nice music, Boris dear, I want us to just reflect on our lives. Our lives as that earthen vessel, and ask God to show us what stones, even if you identify one stone that you want, you're one step closer, you made room for God, you know. So identify that, and as we pause for a while, we will then go into communion. And as you go into communion, ask God to help you, because it is by His Spirit that we are equipped, we are enabled to do the things that we need to do. We can't take the stones out by ourselves. It's His Holy Spirit that helps us. Amen.